Welcome to the Cutter's Notch Podcast, a program created by Michael DeCamp, the author of Abandon Hope, a Cutter's Notch novel. Recorded in the Cutter's Notch Studios, this podcast is focused on all things creative, with special forays into books and matters of faith. Join Michael as he catches up with an author, a songwriter, a painter, a comedian, or anyone working or supporting a creative endeavor. So turn up the volume, listen, and catch up on what's happening in Cutter's Notch.
Welcome, everyone, to this week's episode of the Cutter's Notch Podcast, brought to you from the Cutter's Notch Studios in beautiful Cutter's Notch, Indiana. Look that up. See if you can find it. I bet you don't, although you might find my book, Abandon Hope, a Cutter's Notch novel, because Cutter's Notch is fictional, right? And so the Cutter's Notch Studio, guess what it is, too? Well, it's actually my dining room. But I'm sitting here with another guest. This is episode 3, and I'll be introducing him in just a moment. But before I get to that, I want to continue with my pattern that I started a couple of episodes ago of talking about a particular book. So there'll be a book of the week. And on my first podcast, I talked about how Dean Koontz's book, Twilight Eyes, got me started on the writing process. Well, Dean Koontz has remained one of my favorite authors. And the book I want to talk about today is one of his, and it's the beginning of a series of books. I can't remember now if there were 5 or 6 or 7 in the series, but I've read all of them, and I really, really love this character. But the name of the first book in the series is Odd Thomas. I love the Odd Thomas book series. And basically it follows a young man who he has this ability to see dead people, kind of like the Sixth Sense movie, except he's like 18 or 20 years old. So he's an older than the character in the Sixth Sense, but he has the ability to see dead people and also see spiritual beings, and some he's an odd person, and so they call him Odd Thomas. Let me read to you the caption on the back. So it says, "The dead don't talk. I don't know why." That's a quotation. It says, "The dead don't talk. I don't know why, but they do try to communicate with a short order cook in a small desert town, serving as their reluctant confidant. Meet Odd Thomas, the unassuming young hero of Dean Koontz's dazzling New York Times bestseller, a gallant sentinel at the crossroads of life and death, who offers up his heart in these pages and will forever capture yours. Odd Thomas. Sometimes the silent souls who seek Odd out want justice. Occasionally, their otherworldly tips help him prevent a crime. But this time it's different. A stranger comes to Pico Mundo, accompanied by a horde of hyena-like shades who herald an imminent catastrophe. Aided by his soulmate, Stormy Llewellyn, and an unlikely community of allies that include the King of Rock and Roll, Odd will race against time to thwart the gathering evil. His account of these shattering hours in which past and present, fate and destiny converge is a testament by which to live, an unforgettable fable for our time, destined to rank among Dean Koontz's most enduring works." And I got to say, I loved this character. He's a lot of fun. He is funny. The writing is funny, and yet it's completely in the Dean Koontz genre of horror adventure, and loved that series, and I was sorry to see the series end, but I would recommend Odd Thomas. Let me try that again. Odd Thomas by Dean Koontz. They actually made a movie over it. It didn't make it into too many widespread audiences, but there was a movie of the same name. You can look it up. I watched it. I rented it pay-per-view. Same name. It stars Anton Yelchin, the same guy who played Chekhov in Star Trek. And unfortunately, we know that he passed away in an untimely accident. But it actually is very true to the book. And I would recommend that you catch that movie. It was a good movie. So anyway, that's the book of the week. Check it out. Now, our guest today is a friend of mine. I told him that we were going to talk about the creative process and maybe some technical aspects of it, but he told me not to sell him short because he does some writing of his own. So I don't know. I hadn't
used
heard
to,
that.
Used to.
Used to. Not
I,
anymore.
I need to get back into it.
Oh, well, you know, I can't wait to hear, you know, what that was all about. So with me today is Bill Whitehair, and he's been kind of my producer. He's been my he's the one who pushed me into doing the podcast. So if you love this podcast after two episodes and in the first few minutes of this one, then he can get that. If you hate this podcast, then I'll give him the credit for that too. Bill Whitehair is with us today. Bill, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I am a teacher and I teach broadcasting at the high school level. I am a Christian. I am a... I knew it was coming.
No, he's laughing at me because I had to clear my throat.
Yeah.
I'm human, Bill. I have to clear my throat sometimes.
It's hard for me to describe myself sometimes because of the fact that I'm a movie lover. I love great stories. I'm a techie. I'm a nerd. I'm a geek. I'm an old fashioned farm boy. And
he's not married. So if you're a single girl out there,
here we go.
He'd like to, know who you are.
No, this is not match.com. Thank you very much.
It's not. This is Cutter's Notch match service.
Yeah. All right. I think that, it was such an idea that for you to get this platform to be able to talk about the creative process when you first told it to me, it was, well, your idea for it. Cause I thought it was going to be good for you anyway.
Well, yeah, it was your idea actually for me to do the podcast.
Yeah.
So, for those of you who are, listening, he came to me with the idea of doing the podcast to promote my book.
Yeah.
Which, I'm happy to do Abandoned Hope, a Cutter's Notch novel, go buy it.
Yeah.
I didn't want this to be
just about the book,
every single week. People get tired of hearing about that. Mm-hmm. But I want people to keep tuning in. So I thought, it makes sense to me. If we're going to talk about the book and books, then let's make it about the creative process. And that kind of broadens the scope out. So,
I mean, again, I'm a producer, so to speak. I have a lot of technical training, but I don't use it as much because I think that there is elements of it. It's like art in general. I mean, I think we have tools to make these things work and make these things happen. But I think there's also the human element of listening and being able to understand how to make it all work for, whatever situation that you're in, whether it be in an auditorium or whether it be in, in the Cutter's Notch studios here, or, you're in the middle of a cornfield. I mean, there's different elements that you have to not just bring your technical knowledge to the process and to the situation, but also you have to have instincts just like any other, job or any other, events or situation in life. You have to have instincts for it. And the good producers all have it. I mean, whether it be music or whether it be this setup or anything else, you have to have good instincts for it, not to be able to use the tools that technology and God gives us so that we can do the job the way that, was meant to be done. So it's so cool that, we're working with what we get to work with now and being able to provide platforms and be able to have that platform that's very cost effective now for things of this nature or for things of, fill in the blank for whatever podcasts that people want to do and listen to.
How did you get into, you're teaching broadcasting. Mm-hmm. You obviously have an education in broadcasting, but how did that unfold? How did that start?
It was, I think, a combination of love of music and an idea that I like to communicate. My mom's a teacher, and so she started me off with stories very early in life, and, you know, nursery rhymes, Disney movies, and things of that nature. So I always had an idea of that I wanted to communicate, and I wanted to do something besides what I actually started my college career in engineering. And so to be able to switch that into a career in telecommunications and broadcasting was very interesting to me. I love sports. I loved, listening to Keith Jackson call college football games, and Al Michaels and Brent Musburger and all those guys. To be able to do that job and do it well, was, it just transformed the event. And that always was appealing to me. And that was my goal at the very beginning. But it just evolved from there too, because, you know, I love what I do now, and it's very satisfying, very fulfilling, it's stressful at times, but at the end of the day, I'm very happy where God has put me in my life at this point. Yeah.
So you teach, teenagers,
mm-hmm.
but you also, you've taken on the task of trying to teach, 50 something year old,
teenager,
how to get a podcast going.
Yeah.
So, Bill is actually my co-host on another podcast that I do called the Growing Hearts Podcast. So if you
Growing Hearts,
yeah, that's an inside joke. No, nobody listening will get that, but we co-host together. It's a church podcast, called Growing Hearts. So if you want to check that out, feel free to, but, so we started that one first, mm-hmm. but this Cutters Not podcast grew out of the conversation that we had about creating that podcast.
Well, actually, I think the first the idea was for you to have it, because I think you and I both had an idea for the church podcast eventually, but it was, for me, it was the start of, you know, another outlet for you. Another outlet for authors, another outlet, because I feel like in this day and age, you know, there's so much of an audience retention, not just from a book, it's from a pod, it's from, you know, social media, it's from, you know, being able to reach an audience through various avenues. And it's important to be able to, you know, maximize that exposure and maximize that ability for you as an author. So that was the idea at the beginning, podcast just kind of.
Well, that was your idea at the beginning. What my understanding was, it was, what did we meet at? Panera? I think it was Panera we met at. Bill says, "Hey, you know, let's get together. I want to talk to you about this podcast thing." And I'm like, "Okay." And so I thought we were going to go talk about the church podcast. And he goes, "Actually, I want you to make a podcast for your book." Oh, okay. So then kind of, so you had your perspective and I came in with a different expectation and,
yep.
And you know, sometimes that's how it works. And so we've created this. Now, how do you see, you touched on it a little bit, but in what way does participating in a podcast, where do you see that helping people who are of a creative mindset?
Well, it's almost like a journal. It's almost like something where, you know, blogs used to be. And when blogs first blew up on the internet, it was a way for authors and creative types to be able to get a message out and give another avenue of their thought process through whatever it may be. And George Martin still does this, and I'm still waiting. I'm like, George, come on, give me the next book. And I follow his blog just so I can know where he's at in his creative process. But
I hope he finishes it. I need it. We're talking about George R.R. Martin, the writer of Game of Thrones.
Yeah. Right? And A Song of Ice and Fire series that desperately needs its next book, and two books actually, because he said it's going to be a 7-book series, so we're still waiting on the 6th. But anyway, it's that evolution of the art process and the way for communication to continue between the creative and the audience for that creative endeavor. And it's really cool that the last few, I'm going to say last 5 years, the technology has become more cost effective. The platforms have become more cost effective, and It's also too, one company in particular, and I they're not paying me to say this, so, but I'm going to shout them out anyway. Audio Boom, which you will be consuming this podcast as well as the one for our church and the one I use that I teach with. They revolutionized because their pricing system was so much better than anybody that was in the in their industry. And so, you know, from that to the technology that's sitting in front of us today that you can use your iPhone, you can use your smartphone, you can use your laptop and just plug a USB microphone in. And they're made now that they're much more competitive than what they were when they first came out 5 or 6 years ago. But it's just, it's all those things combined to, I think, make the average everyday creative person, you know, give them light, give them something that they can use to say, okay, you know, what are your thoughts? What's going on in your world? And have the audience that, you know, that's out there be able to consume that medium and be able to, you know, give that creative process more light, more fuel, more engagement.
Mm-hmm. Now, you know, I got to admit that when I first started thinking about doing a podcast for myself, I was a little bit overwhelmed because I wasn't familiar with the technology. Mm-hmm. And I know you keep saying, well, you know, it's real easy now. It's so easy and you can do it from your phone and da, da, da. But ultimately I'm not doing it for my phone.
Nope.
I went out and bought some equipment and basically I got I guess what would be called a podcast soundboard.
Mm-hmm.
It's by Rode, R-O-D-E. It's even got sound effects.
Oh yeah,
I could play one.
Yeah, go ahead, hit a button. Let's see
what happens.
Well, you got to turn the volume up.
I got to do that too.
So where's the volume? Is that the volume? Yeah. Okay. So try that.
Let's try this.
Yeah. We just blew some eardrums out there. I think.
I think we did.
Yeah.
I could turn that off. Let's try a different one. See, people are very excited about this podcast.
They're surrounding the Clutterstock studios right now. Not really.
I can't turn that one off. It just runs until it stops on that one. So anyway, it's got sound effects on it. And then I bought a couple of microphones.
Mm-hmm.
And I probably need to buy a couple more so that I can interview more than one person at
eventually,
one time.
Yeah. I mean, that's where you go with that too.
And I got a couple of headsets. Mm-hmm. So sitting here listening to that. And I didn't have to buy a laptop, but I needed a new laptop anyway. So I got a new laptop too. And then there's a few cords and cables and things like that. So it really wasn't that much money. It was maybe $1,000, mm-hmm. you know, maybe a little over that.
Yeah.
And boom, here I have a podcast. So, for me, the hard part is understanding the technical aspects of sound levels and, you know, mixing it and putting the intros and outro at the beginning and the end. Yep. And that kind of stuff. I'm not really, I don't really kind of get that yet. So that's why Bill's kind of helping me out. He's kind of helping me limp along here until I really get a handle on this.
You gotta crawl before you can walk. And you know, I was there one time too, you know, it's easier said than done until you have somebody right there, because some of these things are very intimidating. And until you actually have tried it, and it's like, oh, I'm going to break this thing. I mean, this is an expensive piece of equipment. I don't want to break it, or I don't want to misuse it. And it's just a process. And, you know, we just have to trust it and we have to experience it just like students do every day. And we'll eventually get there.
So, you mentioned earlier that you did some writing,
mm-hmm.
and you haven't been doing it for a while.
Yeah.
This is a new piece of information. I didn't know this. So,
yeah.
So tell me and whoever listens to this in Paris or London or, Austin, Texas.
Hi, Paris. Hi, London. Hi, Austin, Texas.
tell us about
Muncie,
that.
Indiana. Well, again, this is from college communications at Ball State. Right now there's a lot more, different types of majors you can go into from the telecommunications major, a lot of different areas you can focus on. But back then when I was there, you know, back in the early 2000s, it was four different ones and I chose production. And part of that production process for me was obviously what we're doing now, you know, the recording process, the technical know-how, And, but there's also a writing element involved. You don't have to know how to write. And I love the writing process. I really do. I'm just not patient enough for it most of the time. I can't, if it's going to take me longer than, you know, the 15 minutes, sometimes I'm like, okay, I'm done with that. I need to go do something else. And which again, you know, probably describes my grading habits as well, but it was so important for me to understand that writing process as well, because that is essential for any good broadcast. You have to have good writing. And people don't realize that Al Michaels or, you know, anybody that's doing Sunday Night Football or those are written things. All right. A lot of that stuff's already written before they get there. And some of the stuff on the fly is not, obviously, but a lot of that stuff in the pregame, a lot of stuff, they've rehearsed that, they've gone over that, they've written that. And it's good. It's either good writing or bad writing, depending on not just the, you know, the performers, the people doing the performing of the writing, but also the writing itself. So it was important for me to understand that. But at the same time, too, again, going back to blaming my mother for the storytelling and the stories in the Disney movies, I loved a good story. I always have. And I thought it was cool because television really captured that for me, too. Television and movies, being able to see good writing properly applied as well. You know, you can have good writing and then the actors can botch it completely and totally misuse it and not be able to portray the story that they need to portray. And that was another thing we learned too in college. But just understanding that and being able to, you know, respect the heck out of good writers and no matter where they came from, no matter who they are, their backgrounds, you know, writing is writing. Good writing is good writing. And one of my best influences and a TV show that, you know, if you know my political affiliations, it'll surprise the heck out of you, but I love The West Wing. I love Aaron Sorkin's writing, his writing style. That kind of
tells us what your political affiliations
are. I'm opposite of Aaron as far as just the writing of The West Wing. But if you watch The Newsroom or any other things, so he's a very well-balanced writer, but he writes dialogue better than anybody in the business, at least in my perspective. And so I always thought that, you know, it'd be cool to write a television show, write treatments, write scripts for television, to be able to write dialogue that well. And so inspiration for that, for my writing, was that I never was very good at it, but, you know, being able to try it, being able to write treatments, being able to write television shows was interesting to me. And it still is. I'm just not very good at it, at least not yet. And so, but it was that process, being able to see that show, get to thank Mr. Chalfin back in government days of Delta High School for at least starting that process too. I mean, I liked the show, but you know, we got this. We called West Wing Wednesdays, I think, and we'd watch an episode during class.
Yeah, so you had a shout out here to your high school, Delta High School, Delaware County, near Muncie, Indiana.
The original 317, by the way, right before Indianapolis took it. Yeah, but now the 765. You know what's up. But it was far and away the most, I think, as far as political drama, you know, the biggest evolution in television history was that show. And then again, for me, the writing was so good and it still is. I've watched that show, that whole series, you know, over 10 times, the whole series.
You think that's a bigger deal than Friends or Seinfeld?
Yeah. For me, it was. I mean, Seinfeld,
that was a show about nothing.
Larry David again is a great writer, but I could not get into that show. If you put me in there, I mean, I'd laugh at the Soup Nazi and a few others, but there's just, for me, there's not as much there humor wise, you know, cause you have to give me more than just a show about nothing. There are Friends is good. But for me, it was it wasn't deep drama, but it was just a good light and great dialogue, drama about politics.
Yeah. I enjoyed The West Wing. It was a good show.
Yeah. But it was just that type of writing really interested me and it still does. And if you can do it well, I follow a few people on social media, one in particular, you know, we had no connection, but you know, we follow each other and she's a writer out in California now and she's written episodes for certain things. And I'm just, you know, I'm very in awe that she's able to do that. She has incredible skills and I respect the heck out of that.
Yeah. So have you done some creative writing?
I've tried. Yeah. I mean, I had a show called The Embassy. I wrote treatments for that, and I started to think about how I wanted to develop that and be able to use that as far as not just shop it like anything, but just create it and just have that kind of world in my head. And it's still there somewhere. It's still in my recesses of my brain somewhere. It'll pop back up one day when I've got time to think about it. But yeah, I mean, there's, you know, and I love good stories though. And I'll pull for those. I'll pull from those memories and I'll pull from those characters and those situations that you get from your reading. And it's sad that we don't teach that more. I mean, novels are essential for learning, and those storylines and those worlds help teach us about life and about other people's lives and experiences. And, you know, walking in their shoes for a few pages really changes your perspective and really educates you on how people live their lives that aren't around you, aren't around the Cutters Notch area here in lovely Cutters Notch, Indiana.
Yes. People should visit Cutters Notch, Indiana.
They really should.
Just Google it. See if you can. I wonder what would happen if you actually on maps and you typed in Cutters Notch, what would actually come up?
I'm going to figure out, put a dot right here on your house and Cutters Notch. I'm going to figure out if I can Google to do that.
You'll pin it.
Yes.
Drop a pin.
All right.
Okay. So, actually I'm looking at the time here. We've actually talked for a good little bit here, but, any other comments on, you know, what you think would be useful for people when it comes to, doing podcasts or other technologies? What technologies are good for creative people to get their work out there?
Well, it's all with what they're comfortable with. I mean, you weren't comfortable with your current setup and you're still getting comfortable with it. And that's the process too. It's like the writing process. You have to give yourself time to get comfortable with it. You have to give yourself time to ask Google and watch YouTube clips and, you know, have people that have this experience to say, okay, all right, that works. That works for this person. Let's see if it works for me. Maybe yes, maybe no. And just go from there. It's really, like the company Rode, they're based out of Australia and they make a fantastic product. And it was the one that you actually are using now. It wasn't on the market when we were first setting up for the church podcast. And now I'm just kicking myself. I'm thinking if we could have waited just a couple months, we could have got one for the church too. Now the church has a great setup. All right. It's something that we use. See, I mean, we could have had that right in the middle of our church podcast too, but it's just the fact that a lot of these things are becoming more cost effective and allowing people that maybe thought about this process and thought about creating their own pod. Just, well, you know, Mark Maron, you know, I think that's his name. He just does it on his phone. He just starts recording and just does a podcast. He walks out sometimes just to his mailbox, picks his mail up and walks back in and just keeps talking. It's like it's, you know, just like it's nothing. And you can do that too, thanks to companies like Audioboom. Now, again, do your shopping, you know, figure out what works for you. But, you know, a company like Audioboom makes a lot of things very easy. And again, I don't get paid to say that. Mike doesn't, you know, isn't endorsed by that. But it's just...
I would welcome endorsement.
Yeah, well, true. Yeah, me too. But
I got to get a few more listens in before somebody's going to endorse me, though.
But it's amazing. Again, there's so much literature on this stuff, too, online that you can read and you can find out. You can find reviews and see what people had problems with. And if that's, you know, your weakness, then you can share that. You know, you can see that that person had similar to you in background and in technological knowledge and savvy, know that, okay, that may not be the product for me. I may need to go with something else. But it's just, it's all out there. And it's such a cool thing to see what the market's doing for the creative process.
Well, you know, I think it's so important for people who are endeavoring to create.
Mm-hmm.
And they want people to experience what they create,
yeah.
Whether it's you know, written material like a book or poems or whatever may be there, or whether it's music or even the visual arts like painting or sculpture or whatever it may be. And they want people to experience it. It's important that they utilize the tools they have available to them. And you know, when I first published my book, I knew I needed to use social media. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I commonly use Facebook, Twitter, Instagram and LinkedIn. Those are kind of my four primary platforms to get information out on my book. Mm-hmm. And now I'll be using that for the podcast as well. But, I think sometimes people, when they're in that creative vein, they don't always know how to use the other avenues in order to get their work out. But it's important that they do so that people become aware of it.
So they can consume it. Yeah. I mean, it's just another avenue for that creative consumption. And again, like we talked about when we first met at Panera not too long ago, it feels like not too long ago. It's probably over a year ago. Yeah. So, but it's so important for, that's why George R.R. Martin, Game of Thrones creator, he uses a blog still. He's got a little bit old school, but he's been on pods and he does interviews all the time, you know, trying to get the information out about the, you know, not only his works, but the works that he's involved with now through HBO and through the success of the TV series. You got, I'd be interested to see how Tom Clancy would have handled this setup if he was still alive, be able to handle these types of things, because I'm a huge fan of his. And, but you got, you know, I like the spy thriller or the technological thriller series or genres, and I'm always following those guys, those authors on social media, and loving that they can give me updates on some of the things they're working on or they're thinking about, because some of them are just like me, some of them are the complete opposite of me, and yet that we still share this common, you know, theme or this common like of this type of genre. That's just, for me, it's just really cool. And being able to escape into that world or those worlds, like Abandoned Hope, that is in bookstores now, also on Amazon and a few others, right?
Hey, right. How'd you like Abandoned Hope?
So I'm still haven't yet read it yet.
Oh,
so.
See, my friend Bill hasn't even read my book. So
it's still
I'm calling him out in national.
He's been calling me out in more ways than one. So don't think that it's just been on this podcast, ladies and gentlemen. But what I'm trying to get him to do is get an audiobook of this so that I can consume it that way. Cause that's how I consume a lot of my books now, is audiobook. And a special shout out to George Guidel, who is now 80. I think he's in his early 80s, but he's done this for a lot of books now. If you liked, was it Longmire? If you liked that television series, it's a book series that he did a lot of those books. He did a lot of the Mitch Rapp series that Vince Flynn's created, and he's since passed, and Kyle Mills has picked up. But, you know, again, Lou Diamond Phillips, he did some Jack Ryan work for the Clancy family and the Clancy. I don't know if it's the Clancy Foundation or who does the work for them now. But Lou Diamond Phillips is a fantastic actor and a great narrator.
And so, he was in the TV series for
Longmire.
Actually, I follow him on Twitter.
Yeah,
I'm in the fold.
Yeah,
that's, are you? The fold. FOLD stands for Friends of Lou Diamond.
Lou Diamond.
Yeah. I'm one of the friends. And in fact, Lou Diamond Phillips has a copy of my book.
Oh, he does?
Yeah, I messaged him and he responded. Actually, he's one of the cool Hollywood figures that actually they interact with their fans. And he told me how to get the book to him, and I mailed him a copy, and he confirmed that he got it. So I don't know if he ever read it or not. Who knows?
It's on his nightstand
or it's on his bookshelf, and you know, maybe somebody will pick it up and read it, and maybe he's read it. I don't know, but yeah, Lou Diamond Phillips he's pretty cool to follow on Twitter.
He's a great narrator, and he's you have to have some talent for that. You have to have some God-given talent, which again, it's something that you're kind of born with, you know, not kind of, you are born with, but it's also something you have to work at. And George Guidel, Lou Diamond, there's a few others out there that I can't remember their names. So sorry for forgetting your names, but that's a talent of itself. And that again, transforms another transformative, you know, avenue for that creative endeavor. So taking that book and then giving it a narrator that has chops is just another way for your creativity to be consumed by an audience. And it's just, again, it's such a cool thing that technology has given us.
Cool deal. Well, Bill, thanks for being on here. I want to wrap this up with my new standard part of this, which is the random question.
So I don't know anything about this.
Grab a random question out of that box and let's see what it says and See where it goes.
So I know this one. What is your favorite comic or cartoon character?
Right. There you go.
Captain America, Steve Rogers. Favorite one has been since, you know, a little bit before the movies came out, and then Chris Evans took on that role, and he did a great job with it. But I've always been a fan of that underdog role, and, you know, being able to see the evolution of Captain America, Steve Rogers, from where he started from in the comics to where he's been taken thanks to the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Uh-huh. That's just been really neat to see. Cartoon character. It's probably Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. You know, those guys. The Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Oh, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Yes. Okay.
That was the cartoon back in the day in the late 80s, early 90s that got me glued on Saturday mornings.
Back in your day. My day goes back further than that.
Yeah, a little further. Not too much, but yeah, just a little further. So, but...
How'd you like the movies, the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle movies?
The first two that were in the early, first one was the 91 or 94. I can't remember the year it was released, but it was good. And then the second one was good. The third one lost me. And then everything else since has been okay.
Yeah. I think I might've seen the first and second one. I haven't seen any after that.
Yeah. They're not worth watching. So, you know, no offense to those people, but,
I'm sure that is an offense to those people. Well, but I get what you're saying.
It's from this moviegoer that, has so many movies in their collection that it's ridiculous, but, you know, that's another pod, another time.
Another podcast. Yeah. We'll talk about movies one of these days.
Oh my gosh. That'll be like a 4-hour pod.
Well, I'm sure people will be happy to sit and listen to our gravelly voices for 4 hours. So, well, interesting. My favorite comic character, I don't know. It's been such a long time since I actually saw a comic. Mm-hmm. I actually looked at a comic book.
Yeah.
But probably I was into superheroes. Sure. So Fantastic Four.
Yep.
Captain America, mm-hmm. Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Not so much Batman and Superman. Maybe a little bit, but,
well enough because they were the mainstream.
Yeah. They were the main guys. Cartoons. I mean, I go back, there's the whole Bugs Bunny and, what was the name of the little guy who was, Yosemite Sam. And Yosemite Sam had a potty mouth, but it was always a rat, a shrana, rat, a rat, a rabbit's rack. So it's not real words.
No.
But if you see him come up on the screen, it's all these characters, right? So it doesn't actually use words, but you know what he's doing.
Yeah.
And then, this, all the other characters that kind of go in there, Bugs Bunny and Roadrunner and the Coyote, Wile E. Coyote. So love those guys. Love those cartoons. Obviously, I think they're not, what's the word, politically correct anymore. So
what is politically correct really anymore?
Maybe that's another podcast.
That's a whole nother one.
Art.
Whole nother series.
Art and political correctness. that could be a whole conversation in itself. But those were the guys I liked. I liked the Fat Albert. I liked Scooby-Doo.
Mm-hmm.
Ruh-roh. Scooby Snack. I enjoyed those. Buck Rogers and the, what was it? Buck Rogers and something of the universe. I can't remember how that goes now, but there was a cartoon for that back in the day. And I always look forward to that. Okay, guys. I want to thank Bill again for being on the podcast. He actually was a very effective last-minute fill-in because we had someone else scheduled, and she unfortunately got ill, and we'll get her in a future episode. But Bill did a fine job filling in, and I think it was a good conversation about utilizing technology to the benefit of the creative person.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to close out with the scripture of the week. I've got at least one more, so... This is from Genesis 1 also. I used Genesis 1 in the very first podcast, but this is Genesis 1, verse 28. It says, "Then God said, 'Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the air or sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground.'" And it goes on from there, but basically the point is God made mankind, that's man and woman, Not not just men. So all of you misogynist guys out there, just, you know, hold your horses. This is for both. But he made us in his image. And part of that is his creativity. I think, you know, there are beautiful things that other creatures make. My daughter has one of those orb spiders or corn spiders, giant spiders. She's built it's probably a female spider, but she's built this big spider web over my daughter's front door. And we used to have one in the bushes in front of our house, but I haven't had one over the front door before. And it's kind of freaking Andrea out a little bit. And so she moved it yesterday, and she actually got it and she moved it into the bushes. And I just saw a tweet from her a few minutes ago that it returned. It found its way home to its web. So it didn't succeed in moving it. But if you've ever seen, talking about creatures that create something beautiful, if you've ever seen an orb spider web in the morning when the dew is sitting on the web, it's beautiful. There are other things that, that creation creates that is beautiful. Honeycombs are beautiful. And so there are lots of things that are creative out there within their very small scope, but mankind is creative beyond anything else. We create organizations, we create art visually, we create art musically, we create art in the written form. We create solutions to problems all the time. And, he has made us into a creative being in his likeness.
A good bunch.
What's that?
A good bunch.
A good bunch. A good bunch. So thank you everyone for listening, and, catch me again in a couple of weeks. My next two podcasts, assuming that it happens the way that I plan, one will be someone talking about, using technology again and using social media. So I'll have a social media expert coming in and talking about how creative people can effectively use social media.
I think I know who that is.
You might know who that is. It's not you.
No, nope.
And then I'm also got a comedian lined up. So we'll have a comedian in the next couple of episodes as well. So thank you everyone for listening, and we'll see you again on the next Cutter's Notch podcast.
The Cutter's Notch podcast can be found through any podcast listing provider. New episodes will drop approximately twice per month. Connect with Michael at the following email address, authormichaeldecamp@gmail.com. Again, that's authormichaeldecamp@gmail.com. Abandon Hope. A Cutter's Notch novel can be purchased as an ebook, paperback, or hardcover through any bookstore, both online and local. Get your copy and start your own Cutter's Notch adventure today.